Our text of Scripture this morning is verse number 25 of Ephesians chapter number 5. Where it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, throughout the book of Ephesians, God's people are constantly shown that their lives are to be different from the ungodly. In their worship together with other believers and in their daily life, their conduct, their standards are to be distinct from those who are unsaved and those who are ungodly. And this difference from the ways of the ungodly and unconverted is something also that concerns marriage, the home, and the family situation. Yes, it is relatively easy for the believer to be a Christian whenever they are out at church on the Lord's Day. But it is not so easy in the home, day by day. And it is for this particular reason that our text this morning, and indeed the latter part of Ephesians chapter 5, has much to say to us about this matter of Christian living in the home. Our text says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And those words there in that verse specifically relate to the bond of marriage. And people, can I make it very clear this morning from this pulpit that marriage is between one man to one woman? My, we're living in a day in every part of our society when sodomy has been pushed upon our community, and especially upon our children and our young people more and more. And let me make it very clear that sodomy is sinful. It's a sinful relationship. The Word of God rightly refers to it as an abomination in the sight of God. And it is something that God's people should have nothing to do with, or should neither support or countenance in any shape or form. The Word of God makes it very clear that marriage is between one man to one woman. That is God's way from the very beginning and dawn of time. And my, also the Bible makes it very clear that the marriage of two believers is something that is fundamental to the setting up of a godly home. And also the Word of God makes it very clear and plain. The Word of God forbids the unequal yoke. In other words, it is wrong for a believer to marry an unbeliever. That is something the Word of God warns against. It says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness?" And it is for that reason that this church will not marry a couple that are unequally yoked together. It is for that reason that this church will not marry a believer to an unbeliever. Because the Word of God forbids and warns against the unequal yoke. Now, when we think of these words in our text this morning and the surrounding verses in the chapter, I want us to consider today the matter of Christian living in the home. For just as this subject was important for the believers in the day of the Apostle Paul, so it is vitally important for God's people and for God's church today. Highlighting the blessing of a godly home, it has been said that the family circle is the supreme conductor of Christianity. It has also been said that when our homes are ruled according to God's word, angels might be asked to stay with us and they would not find themselves out of their element. And people this morning, one of the reasons I believe that has contributed to our society today becoming so godless and so anti-God is because Christianity and Christian living has been neglected in the home and amongst the family. And believer, if you and I are to be the salt of the earth here in this town of Market Hill and the surrounding district, then it is imperative that our Christianity is lived out in our homes and in our families day by day. As we think then of our text and the verses surrounding it, is this vital matter of a godly home that I want us to think upon and to look at today from God's Word. Notice first of all with me the motives for a godly home. One of those motives is the glory of God. Look at verse 27 of this chapter. Paul here is speaking about the church of Christ and God's purpose for that in heaven. And he says that he might present it to himself, notice it, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, if it is God's purpose for his church to be glorious in heaven, then we can also say, without any fear of contradiction, that it is also God's purpose for his church to bear a glorious testimony here on earth. And why, if God's church is to bear a glorious testimony on earth, then its members, its people who belong to that church must live godly lives in their homes. The Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And that really refers to every aspect of our daily life, especially our life in the home. Believer, if you and I are to bring glory to God on earth, then we must live for Christ in our homes. We must be like Joshua of old, who could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to have the burden of the hymn writer who said, oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide. Oh, the glory of God is the motive for a godly home. Another motive, dear people, is the raising of godly children. Look at the opening words of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Those words you see are addressed to children. And people, a godly home is a home where the children honor their parents. A godly home is a home where the children obey their parents in the Lord. And my, that is really contrary to the whole thinking of our society today. But God says in his word that a godly home is a home where the boys and the girls obey their parents and honor their parents in accordance with the fifth commandment that God has given to his people and to his church. We turn in our Bibles back to Psalm number 78. And here you see in this Psalm 78 how God's people have a responsibility to teach their children the Word of God, so that their children also will come to trust the Lord and to live for God's honor and glory. In Psalm 78, verse 4 to 7, it says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded their fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And people, when you think of those words and the whole purpose of Christian parents to teach their children the things of God, this is why it is so important to those of you who are Christian parents in this meeting to do all you can to bring your children to God's house Sabbath morning, Sabbath evening, so that they can sit under the Word of God and hear what God's Word has to say and be taught in the ways of God. This is why Sunday school is so important. This is why youth meetings are so important. This is why children's meetings are so important. That we might bring our children under the ministry, under the influence, dear people, of the Word of God. But as well as bringing our children to church to hear about God's Word and the ways of God, those of us who are parents have a responsibility in our own homes to teach our children the Word of God and the ways of God by word and by our example. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, there are words that you'll always hear read at a children's dedication service in this church. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 to 7. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And in our homes, by word and by our example, we are to teach our children the words of God, the ways of the Lord. And Christian parents, this is one of the great blessings of having a family altar in your home. Because through having a family altar in your home, you can read God's word to your children. You can explain God's word to your children. And you can pray with your children in the home. Says Anna Wesley was a great woman of God. She was truly a mother of Israel. She had 19 children, and she sought to show forth Christ in her home amongst her family. And God blessed and used her testimony for two of her sons, John and Charles, that they were saved. And they were used mightily by God and the early Methodist movement here in Ireland and in Britain and further afield. But she was just a godly mother in the eyes of the world, but my God richly blessed and used her testimony amongst her own offspring. Yes, there is the glory of God. There's the raising of God's godly children. Another motive, dear people, is the pointing of others to Christ. You think of Andrew that you read about in the New Testament. He was the means of leading his own brother, Simon Peter, to Christ. Think also of the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, a godly home. A home where the Lord was often present. A home where the Lord blessed. And as a result of God's blessing upon that home, this is what we read in John chapter 11. It says, then many of the Jews which seen the things which Jesus did, that is in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, says, which seen the things which Jesus did, many of them believed on Christ. Many of them were led to the knowledge of Christ for salvation. It was D.L. Moody who said, if Christ is in your home, your neighbors will soon know about it. Oh, believer, by a godly testimony in your home, I tell you this, you can be a great means of reaching others for Christ, a great means of pointing neighbors, loved ones, friends to Christ and to the ways of God. Yes, we see the motives, dear people, for a godly home. But notice secondly this morning, not only the motives for a godly home, but notice secondly the marks of a godly home. What are the marks of a godly home? Well, you'll see from the passage before us that a godly home will be a joyful home. Look at verse 19 of the chapter 5 of Ephesians. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. May a person who has a song in their heart, they will be happy. And may the believer who lives for Christ in their home, they will be happy. They will have a joy, no matter what their situation is, no matter what their circumstances might be. Paul spoke of that to the believers in Philippi when he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Christian, whenever you put Christ first in your home, no matter what trials come your way, and there's no Christian, and there's no Christian family, and there's no Christian home, I tell you, that is immune from trials and troubles. That is not our lot in life. But no matter what the trials are, no matter what the troubles and the adversities are in your home, the joy of the Lord, I tell you, will be your strength. When you put the Lord first, a godly home, yes, will be a joyful home. Also, we can say a godly home will be a thankful home. Look at verse 20 there of the chapter. Notice what Paul says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ believer, when Christ has a preeminent place in our homes, then our homes will be marked by thankfulness. They'll be marked by an appreciation of God's mercies, small and great. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Christian, in our homes, yes, you and I are to have the spirit of the hymn writer. What did the hymn writer say? "For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise Him." They were filled with thankfulness. And in this matter of thankfulness, it is important in our homes as we gather around the dinner table or the tea or the breakfast to give thanks for our food before our family. To acknowledge God's mercies and the food on our tables, the temporal things. And that is so important. That's what the Bible teaches God's people to do in their life, day by day. But as well as giving thanks for our food, our continual attitude in the home is not to be one of murmuring or not to be one of complaining, no. It's to be one of thanksgiving to the Lord for all His mercies, great and small. And a godly home will be a thankful home. That's what Paul is teaching us here. Notice something else. A godly home will be a submissive home. Look at verse 21 of the chapter. Notice what he says. He says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord." And that is really contrary to society today. Our society and many homes are marked by rebellion. Rebellion is not of God. That's the devil's work. But here the Word of God shows us that a Christian home is to be a submissive home. In our homes we are to submit, as it says there, to one another in the fear of the Lord. You look at what Paul says in the next two verses, verses 22 and verses 23. Here Paul mentions how the Christian wife is to give loving respect to her own husband in the Lord. Look at what he says. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." Down in the end of verse 33, again speaking of the Christian wife, he says, "And the wife see that she reverence her husband." And that speaks of loving respect from the Christian wife to her husband in the home and in the family. And if you look at verse 24 of the chapter, you'll see that her example in this is to be the church's loving submission to Christ as the one who is the very head of the church. Look at verse 24. It says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Christian wife, in our meeting this morning, hear the Word of God shows that you are to give loving respect to your own husband as the head of the home. And in following this, you're following the clear testimony, example of the Word of God and the example of the church's Christ's submission to Christ as the very head of the church. People, we're living in a day when there's an awful push for feminism. You hear it on the media and the press. Every aspect of secular society and women's rights. It's really all about women forgetting their role within the home, within the family circumstance and the family situation. And that whole drive of feminism, it's a movement, I tell you, that is anti-God. It is a movement that is completely contrary to what the Word of God teaches and what the Word of God says is to be the role of the woman in the home and in the family. And those that are always propagating it and propounding it are the most ungodliest of characters, those who have no time for the Word of God and the teaching of Scripture. Not only is a godly home to be submissive, thankful, and joyful, notice something else, that a godly home will be a loving home. Look at what our text says in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And there you see that the Christian husband is to love his wife. He is to care for his wife, even as his very own body, as it says further on down there in verse 28. It says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for he that loveth his wife loveth himself."
but the example of the husband and his love for his wife, that the example he is to follow, is the example of Christ and his love for his bride, Christ and his love for his church. And that's what Paul sets before us there in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. What kind of love had Christ for his church? My, it was a sacrificial love. It was a forgiving love. It was an eternal love. And Christian husband, likewise, our love for our wives is to be sacrificial. It is to be unselfish. The Bible says, charity seeketh not her own. Our love for our wives is to be forgiving. It is to be without bitterness. In other words, we're not to get angry when the dinner is late or when the dinner is burned, so to speak. It says over there in the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 and verse 19, husbands, love your wives. And it says this, and be not bitter against them. And also our love to our wives is to be a lasting love, Christian husbands. It is to be a love that is faithful. Remember what it said over in Malachi chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says, therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord and the God of Israel saith that he hateth putting away. Christian husband, that's the example that you and I are to follow in our love for our wives. A forgiving love, a sacrificial love, a lasting love, a faithful love. Oh yes, we see the marks of a godly home. We see the motives, dear people, for a godly home. But one final thought this morning in connection with our text. I want you to see the means for a godly home. What is the means for a godly home? Well, look with me, please, at Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse number 18. Look at what it says. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, or if you like, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit himself. And my, it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that the Christian can have a godly home and can know a blessed relationship in their home with the rest of their family and with the rest of their loved ones. You look at that word filled there in verse 18. That word filled really means controlled. That's what that word filled means. It literally means to be controlled. And believer, if our homes are to be marked by godliness, that's the benchmark here, then you and I need to be filled. We need to be controlled daily by the Holy Spirit in all that we think and all that we say and all that we do as believers. That's really what Paul is teaching here. Yes, it is vitally important that every servant of God, every minister, every evangelist, every missionary, whatever, is filled and controlled by God, the Holy Spirit, so that they might know God's blessing upon their ministry and upon their service for God. You remember the words of the Lord to his people as he was taken up unto heaven in Acts 1 verse 8. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And believer, this is something that you should be constantly praying for those who seek to faithfully serve the Lord and minister to the Lord, that they might be filled with God, the Holy Ghost. But it just doesn't end there, dear people. Brethren and sisters in Christ, you and I as believers in this congregation here this morning also need to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. We need to be controlled, as it says, by God the Holy Spirit, if we are to live for God's honor and God's glory in our homes, in our families, and in our family setting and circumstances. That's really what Paul is teaching here in this chapter. And might you know this infilling and this in controlling of the Holy Spirit, this is a blessing that each one of us need to seek God for in prayer. This is something that you and I need to pray for, Christian, on a daily basis in our Christian life and walk with God. Turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. And I encourage you, Christian, mark this verse in your Bible. Memorize it. and plead it before God at the daily place of prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Christ here is the speaker, and he's teaching us many things in this chapter to pray for, but this is one blessing in particular he encourages all who are saved to pray for. He says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Asking him speaks of prayer. That is something we are to pray for in all our lives, day by day, as Christians. Can I say also, if we are to know this blessing, being controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit, then as Christians we must seek to live in obedience to God's holy word and to the precepts of God's truth. It says in Acts 5, verse 32, it says, "The Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." And what does that mean? It means this, dear people. If we disobey the Lord, if we turn away from the Lord and from the word of God, we will not know the infilling of the Spirit of God in our lives. We will not know the Holy Spirit controlling us in our lives. And in turn, when we turn away from God's holy word, it will adversely affect our walk with God, our relationships with others in our home, in our family, in the church of God, and in our daily places of employment. Let us not be those who turn away from God's word and God's truth. Christian husband in our meeting this morning, Christian wife in this meeting this morning, and praying for your spouse, praying for one another, pray that your spouse would know the infilling of God the Holy Spirit in their lives. My Christian parents in this meeting this morning, those of you who are believing parents, and praying for your children who are saved, pray that they would be filled with God, the Holy Spirit. Christian children, young people in the meeting this morning, those of you who are saved and believers as children and young people, and praying for your parents who are saved, pray that they would be filled with God, the Holy Ghost. This is God's command to each and every one of us who are saved. In this meeting this morning, it says here, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This is not an optional extra for the Christian. This is a command from God to you and I who are believers in the meeting this morning, so that you and I might bear a good testimony and have a godly influence in our homes, in our families, and amongst our kith and kin, day by day. You know, whenever that is so, then our homes will know heaven and earth. Our homes will really be but a foretaste of glory, a foretaste of heaven. If you're unsaved in the meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you are to know God's blessing upon your home, upon your family life, you must begin with salvation. The psalmist says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And I say to you today, do not let sin, do not let the devil rob you of God's blessing in your home and in your family. But rather you confess your sins to Christ, and you trust in Christ alone for your salvation. The Bible says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Christ is able to give you abundant life. He can give you grace so that you can be a witness for him and serve him in your home, in your family, in your neighborhood, day by day. Salvation from sin. Faith in Christ for salvation. My prayer, obedience to God's word. Dear people, this is the key to a holy, to a happy, to a blessed, and to a godly home and a godly family. And dear people, I say to this morning, it is godly homes and godly families that makes this church strong at home and the church strong abroad in the mission field. If there's a breakdown in the home and the family, then it weakens the church at home and weakens its witness across the corners of the globe. That is how vital this matter is. We are living in a day when never before has there been such an attack upon Christian homes and Christian families and Christian marriages. And the devil is the architect behind it all. Why? Because he wants to hinder the work of God. He wants to hinder the gospel of Christ at home and abroad. What does the psalmist say? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways. Oh, may that be our testimony, not just on a Sunday at God's house, but may that be our testimony week by week in our homes and in our families for the glory of God and by and through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.